KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor a speech by author David Billings on Tuesday, February 14th at 7 p.m. at the St. Andrews Community Center in Portland. David Billings is a nationally known anti-racist historian, organizer, and United Methodist minister, and will speak about his new book, Deep Denial: The Persistence of White Supremacy in U.S. History and Life. Again, that's author David Billings on Tuesday, February 14th at 7 p.m. at the St. Andrews Community Center, 806 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Hello, and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist, your host every second Monday of the month. Well, today we're really lucky to have in studio our guest, Sandor Katz. Sandor Ellis Katz is a fermentation revivalist. His books, Wild Fermentations, which was just revised and republished, and The Art of Fermentation, along with hundreds of fermentation workshops he's taught around the world, have helped to catalyze a broad revival of the fermentation arts. A self-taught experimentalist who lives in rural Tennessee, the New York Times has called him one of the unlikely rock stars of the American food scene, and Newsweek called Wild Fermentation the fermenting Bible. Sandor Katz is the recipient of a James Beard Award and many other honors. In fact, this past weekend, he was a featured speaker and teacher at the Food as Medicine Symposium here in Portland at the National University of Natural Medicine. Sandor Katz, welcome back to Health Watch.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
It's great to have you here. So there is this fermentation revival going on, and yet many, many people are simply very afraid of the thing that catapults fermentation, bacteria. So can you set the record straight for our listeners on fermentation and bacteria?
Well, I mean, first of all, almost every individual in almost every part of the world eats and drinks, like if your listeners, are eating and drinking every day without thinking, and people are doing fine. All that make up our communities of microorganisms, and as we see when we clean our refrigerators, can cause our food to decompose. And, you know, as we know, experience bacteria for people. Fermentation amount environmental conditions of environmental discouraging the, environment, compatible for any of the as so ferment teach, gateway is no of illness or food poisoning. So how can I be sure I have good bacteria rather than bad bacteria growing? Or without, it ends up making an indented historical event because of early theoretical environment that forms.
Assures, really? Is that true? What really assures and affirms the fact that those beneficial bacteria will outweigh those non-beneficial bacteria that can form? I mean, I made sauerkraut once, and it was just an utter failure. It was slimy and gross, and I was afraid of it.
Well, okay. That's not to say you couldn't have results that you will find unappealing for sure. As pathogenic or pathetic acid into not be. All post to lactic acid back to the environment up the vegetable out so the bacteria start reproduce. So getting them submerged to vegetables, then you would. But in either case, from the front with ox will develop and get a little sort of it in a bowl for a few in sort of a cloud slime that will bear no resemblance. So they sit submerged, oxygen, bacteria are to the area present on brilliant strategy with food 0.6 to 4.6 could survive.
If sauerkraut, the silk ring to the...
They are very needed, require humans, so it just happens in nature without us. And we have learned how to sort of harness this power, but nobody specifically knows of the origins of any fermentation processes because they're all so ancient. They predate recorded history. And, if you look at the most ancient documents, in many writing traditions, the most ancient documents make reference to fermented foods and beverages approaches that were already, you know, widespread and common and popular in those parts of the world. So, you know, we can only speculate about you know, how people figured all of this out, you know, how this, you know, kind of wisdom and intelligence came to us. You know, I imagine that it was just a matter of observation and trial and error over time, but, you know, but who knows? Like, we just don't know about the origins. All we know is that for, you know, thousands of years, the archaeological record so far has demonstrated 10,000 years. For 10,000 years or longer, you know, people have been intentionally, you know, fermenting various kinds of foods and beverages, really in every part of the world.
Right. So I was really enjoyed your workshop the other day, and we made some of those fermented vegetables, which actually Sandra and I are going to take a little taste of and see how it's changed in the past 3 days. But the process can be very short, to a few minutes, to a few hours, to a few days, to years, right? And you talked about the fact that when fermentation happens, it actually starts to break down the food, makes it more accessible and digestible. Could you talk about that a little?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, fermentation transforms foods nutritionally and in a number of different ways. And, you know, I mean, there are so many different kinds of fermented foods and beverages that it's a little bit difficult to generalize. But, you know, one of the major ways that fermentation transforms foods nutritionally is that the microorganisms, you know, the community of bacteria and fungi that are doing the fermenting are actually digesting nutrients into simpler and more elemental forms. So, you know, for instance, with a soybean, the soy protein gets broken down into amino acids, the building blocks of proteins, and thereby become more easily accessible for us. Many chemical bonds which bind minerals and can sometimes make minerals unavailable to us are broken down by fermentation, making the minerals more available to us. The fermentation also generates additional nutrients, B vitamins, K vitamins, you know, certain unique micronutrients that are being investigated and have, you know, really impressive therapeutic potentials. And then finally, the bacteria themselves. I mean, not all fermented foods have living bacteria. The, you know, can of sauerkraut at the supermarket that's been heat processed no longer has intact living bacteria. But if you buy, you know, live raw sauerkraut, if you eat yogurt, if you eat kefir, you know, many different kinds of fermented foods and beverages that have not been cooked or heat or through vesting that it might.
So
yeah, kind of broken down by fermentation. It gets broken by it. You started to get more. It can be broken yeast, but by bacteria. And so in a yeasted bread, in a more tradition by a natural leavening, which's found on the grains, mixed to sourdough. But those bacteria reduced gluten content. So, you know, removes breaking them time.
You talked about this church.
Right.
And of different micro. You know, you have people who maybe have bought their of. I don't cancel
jars of pickles. I mean, certainly there are heat processed vinegar pickles on the shelves
right.
of supermarkets. Yeah.
So they're wondering, you know, what could I do to rebuild my microbial diverse culture in my gut to get healthy? Where would they start?
Well, I mean, I think one place to start is with live culture fermented foods. And, you know, if the cheapest sauerkraut you could buy in the supermarket in a can does not have the live cultures intact. But, you know, it's very easy to make your own. You basically chop cabbage, lightly salt it to taste, get in there with your hands, squeeze it a little bit. What that does is break down cell walls, releases juice. After 5 minutes of squeezing the salted cabbage, it gets all juicy. You can season it with whatever you like. You can add other vegetables if you like. Once they're juicy, you stuff them into a jar. Make sure you get the vegetables submerged, and then you just wait, you know, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. If you have a cool environment, 2 months, 3 months. The acids slowly accumulate over time. Make your own. It's very easy. Or certainly in a city like Portland, you know, there's lots of live culture available, you know, mostly in natural food stores and specialty stores, but I'll bet increasingly you're seeing it in supermarkets and big box stores and things like that. Look in the refrigerated section if you want to have live products, because as a practical matter, once you seal in a jar something that's alive, if you don't get it in a refrigerator, it's going to build up pressure, juice is going to start oozing down and ruining the label. So, you know, one of the things that makes these live culture products somewhat more expensive is that they have to be kept under refrigeration. in. So, you know, there are plenty of wonderful quality products available to purchase these days, you know, or make it yourself. It is just so ridiculously easy. If you look on my website, wildfermentation.com, you can find information about how to do it. If you look in my books, you can find, you know, more in-depth information about how to do it. The information is everywhere. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of space. It's fun. It's delicious. It's supportive of good health. I can't recommend it highly enough.
I'll second that emotion. So you just got back from traveling in Japan, China, and Myanmar, you know, and as you say, you know, all cultures eat fermented foods. Certainly coming from a Jewish culture, you know, I too had those pickles and pickled tomatoes and sauerkrauts and kippered herring and all those kinds of things. But I was just wondering, you know, what was your takeaway from traveling there? What really impressed you, or what did you taste that really blew your mind? Or,
well, I mean, you know, I had so many wonderful foods, and I would say that, I mean, the biggest thing that impressed me is, you know, just seeing how many people really are, you know, just how integrated fermentation is in people's lives. And, you know, even many urban people are curing their own sausages, or, you know, making their own pickles or their own, you know, chili sauces, or whatever. And it seems just very much, oh, also fermented tofu. I met, you know, dozens of people who, you know, wanted me to taste, you know, their homemade fermented tofu, and there was actually an extraordinary variety in how it tasted. I mean, you know, I really began to get some insights into how analogous fermented tofu is to cheese.
Absolutely.
And that there's just sort of so many, you know, different ways that people do it and levels of intensity that people take it to. So I really enjoyed that. But the pickles, that was what I was most eager to learn about, just because of this historical mythology that sauerkraut comes from China, but there's so little information in the English language about the Chinese methods of fermenting vegetables. But I've been loving the pao cai, that's the word for it, the pao cai that I've been making at home.
It's a pickled vegetable.
Since I got home, I mean, it's just different flavors. It's different spicing. It's a slightly different method. I mean, it's similar to what I just described in that you get vegetables under a brine, but in the Chinese tradition, it seems that they typically reuse the brine over a long period of time. And the spicing is just really different. Like what I put in the ones that I have going at home, what I learned from this woman in Chengdu, Mrs. Ding, is I have some licorice, mm-hmm. some star anise, some Sichuan peppercorns.
Those are wonderful.
With that like beautiful numbing kind of a flavor, mm-hmm. Along with some chili peppers and garlic and ginger. You know, that spicing, which is just so different from the Eastern European kind of, you know, spicing with, you know, garlic, dill, caraway that I grew up with. It's just kind of, you know, just an exciting different flavor. And I've really been enjoying those pickles.
Yeah. And there are these kind of folklore stories that, you know, the bin of pickling brine that sits outside the door gets passed on from generation to generation, and they just keep throwing the stuff back in. They don't like get a whole new clean batch and do that whole thing, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't really speak to the, you know, generation after generation, but I can tell you that, you know, this woman, Mrs. Ding, and some other people I met, like, definitely keep reusing the brine and, you know, keep adding a little bit more salt and a little bit more spices to it, but they have a like a basic brine that they've been working with for a long period of time.
So just because we're talking about flavor and taste, on Friday night when we did this hands-on workshop with Sandor, and we made our vegetables, our fermented vegetables, which we can smell right now in the studio, we used cabbage and carrots and Brussels sprouts, and what else do we use, Sandor?
Garlic and dill and turnips. I think that's about it.
Leeks. We have leeks too.
Right.
So anyway, we're just going to take a little taste and see how it changed when we tried it on
this
Friday.
So this is just 2.5 days. So, I mean, you know, you really can begin enjoying it very quickly, but it will get stronger and more delicious as more days and weeks pass.
All right. So the difference that I'm tasting is the first day when I tasted it, it was a little bit of salt, but it was really sweet. Now I'm really getting the sour thing going on, right?
Oh my God, such a lovely texture. And the flavors are really melding.
And you can hear us crunching. So, Sandor, let's see, what else did I want? I could talk to you for a long time. I think, you know, it kind of changes how we think about culture. It's like culture now starts in the kitchen, right? You're culturing your food, you're transforming things in the kitchen. So,
well, I mean, I would say culture doesn't start in the kitchen; it starts in the field. I mean, because the food has to come from somewhere, mm-hmm. and you know, like you know, my understanding at this point of fermentation is just part of how people make effective use of the food resources that are available to them, whatever they are.
All right. Well, Sandor Katz, thank you so much for coming to the studio and being with us today. People can find you at
wildfermentation.com. And, you know, you can find out about my workshops there. You can find out about my books there. You can find links to all kinds of obscure fermentation related resources.
Go for it. They're wonderful, and you will find a whole wealth of information. Thank you so much, Sandor. You have been listening to Sandor Katz, author of Wild Fermentation and the Art of Fermentation, on Health Watch. I'm Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist, your host, and you can listen to this episode and more episodes of Health Watch online at kboo.org/healthwatch.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio here in Portland, Oregon. We're doing a winter membership drive. We have a room full of volunteers answering your phone calls. We're about $20,000 away from our goal. The drive ends on the 15th, 2.5 days left to donate. So either in a one-time amount or a monthly amount. That number again is 877-500-5266.
Or you can go online to kboo.fm/give or just go to kboo.fm. There's a big red donate button and you can hit that and donate to us. We're hoping you will consider a $75 donation for the year. That's 12 easy payments of $6.25 each. You can have that just pulled right out of your bank account. Please call us at 866. We have some
difference. All renewed their memberships.
Thank you to Kurt and
Bill.
And is it Denise?
Denise, yeah. From four names we have here. All right.
When do you get a chance to ring cowbells?
If you have a cow.
Here, we'll ring for you. We were just talking about the diverse broadcasts over 17 languages other than English. So we stand for inclusivity. But we also have a variety of programs on a variety of topics. Mm-hmm. You were just hearing about fermentation. But pretty much anything you can think of, you're going to be able to hear some very factual, informative, and interesting and sometimes fun programming here at KBOO.
We were talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline earlier today. And one thing that I've noticed, I don't know if you have too, but it's just I think KBOO has the most incisive coverage of the Dakota Access Pipeline, far superior over than the media Zillas, the Viacoms, the CBSs, the General Electrics,
MSNBCs, etc. Mm-hmm. Even more than NPR, truthfully.
Yeah.
Call us at 877-500-5266 because you make KBOO happen. All of you renewers, thank you. For new people, we'd love to welcome you into the KBOO family. You can make a difference. You help us improve our communities by contributing. And now more than ever, we need you and your strength as part of our efforts. Please call us at 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. Click that give button or donate button, I should say. You can come on down. We're a little south of Burnside on 8th Street. We're friendly. We are just regular, everyday people here volunteering.
Someone came in and donated in person to renew his membership.
That's right.
Do you know which person it was?
I think it was Kurt.
Okay, that would make sense.
And we were just wanting to share with you also, we have programming that is online. So we have the things that you've listened to. You can go back and listen to those again online at kboo.fm. Look under programs. Your show is on there, Radio Geekly.
I just joined the Radio Geekly Collective as of a week or two ago. And our show airs on the first Friday of every month. And this next episode is going to be about conventions.
Nice.
It will primarily focus on Wizard World. But there also may be some coverage of Emerald City, but that has yet to be determined. But it'll still be a good episode. We have some very good interviews lined up. I won't say, I don't want to say too much, but it's gonna be cool.
It's gonna be a good show, and there are lots of good shows here on KBOO. You can also find the podcast. Some of them are web only. And if you call 877-500-KBOO, that's 877-500-5266, and make your donation, you can be a part of making that programming happen. And we're hoping that you will continue to support us if you are already a member, and if you're have you let your member 266 or online kboo.f us KBOOzilla full of soft democracy
now shirts are
swinging country print gifts. So if you've been listening and you're all right now, it might be we have $50 a year, $75.
It's worth noting that we there's a month.
This is true.
And just to try it on, like, still wearing it. It's a really cozy hoodie. Absolutely,
we can get. Also, fast and you're having a hard time in general, there's anxiety and stress with you. If you warm your body, you actually get rid of some of that. So that hoodie is going to do two different things. It'll keep you warm just in general and reduce anxiety. And so will calling and donating an amount that makes sense for your family or your budget. Call us and donate 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO, or go online to kboo.fm and give what makes sense to you. Maybe it's $6.25 a month, or maybe it's more.
Yeah, yeah. Burrito price, hoodie price. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll take it. Also, know that when you call, you're going to be talking to one of our volunteers. They are going to ask your name. They're going to give you their name. We're real people. We're not robots. The people that are engineering, the hosts, we're all volunteers. We're unpaid. And we do this because we love free speech. And free speech is something we want to make sure that we do not lose. And we're actually in a very trying time right now. I'd hate to think that that's something our children are not going to experience. You can make sure that we still have freedom of speech, freedom of radio, the exchange of many diverse perspectives by calling us at 877-500-KBOO or going online to kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody. The screening takes place on Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody is a documentary film that advocates for universal, affordable, single-payer healthcare for everyone. Make a difference, even in the goals. Again, that's now Saturday, February 18th, West Sam. Information can be...
So long, sad time, we are it up. What?